Okay, so again, we're Pasuk Gimel, and let me just find the place. We're up to, let's go for the word Ba'ah. Okay, it's on page 408. Bi'urei Hagra. Ba'ah. Okay, Ba'ah. L'shoy Nikeva. L'fisha HaNeshama. Again, the Gra over here is developing an idea that the entire story of Yonah being sent to Tarshish is nothing more than a mashal for the Neshama coming down to this world. The Neshama comes down to this world. Hashem sends the Neshama to go to Nineveh. Nineveh comes from the word Noveh. Zekeli v'anveyu. V'anveyu means I will glorify him, but it means I will build for him. Zekeli, I will build for him an abode. Noveh means an abode. I will build for Hashem an abode. Hashem says to Yonah, the Neshama, go to the Nineveh. Go to the abode of Hashem in this world. Yonah says, I'd much rather go to the movies. I'd much rather go to Tarshish. Tarshish is the place of all the Gashmias. Yafo, I don't want just Gashmias. I want the best. I want the best of the best. Lashon of Yofe. And he goes to the Aniyah. Aniyah is Miloshon Ani. It's all about me. It's not about you, Hashem. If you're going to send me to this world, I'm going to enjoy myself. And what else do we have? Then, that's pretty much it. Now, then he goes to this world and he goes to the Yam. Why the Yam? Because the Yam is the Moshul for Olam Hazeh. Just like a person cannot live forever on the Yam, he must at some point in time come out of the Yam to survive, so too this world is only temporary relative to Olam Emes. And all of the waves of the Yam represent the trials and tribulations that we experience in this world. We discussed yesterday the idea of Meir Shapiro, this beautiful idea of Yakiva, the Daf Shel Sefina Nizdaminli, the board of the ship. The ship again is the Yam is Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh, we have these waves, trials, tribulations. There are storms. The ship is torn apart, but if you grab onto the Daf, which he homiletically interpreted the Daf Gemara, uvichol gal v'gal, every difficulty in life, every situation, I was able to go up and go down and to miraculously survive and get through this world in one piece. Okay, so when you learn this gra, that whole Maimon Chazal, that whole drasha, which you're going to be hearing probably 1,000 times if you pay attention to the Sima Shas coming up on January 1st, freezing cold, middle of the winter. If you want to go to the Sima Shas, nice, make sure you bring a coat.
One coat?
To MetLife, what?
One coat.
One coat. Travel 2 hours in freezing cold, 2 hours back in freezing cold, and sit in freezing cold for 4 hours.
I told them they should sell those football type blankets that people wear. Honestly, for the life of me,
do not know what they are thinking. I do not know, for the life of me, what got in possessed them to do this, to go make a ceremony outdoors on January 1st. I told you this. What?
Do you remember the traffic last time?
I took the train.
Traffic was impossible from
that's not a kasha, because they told everyone, they begged them to take public transportation. I took public transportation, it was fine. I got there, 1, 2, 3, no big deal, 1, 2, 3, got on the show. It was actually very pleasant. Okay, so that's not a kasha. You can beg everyone to take public transportation, and it's pleasant. I don't know why people have to go drive. When you get to the parking lot there, you have to go walk half an hour to get, even after you park. So what are you gaining? The whole thing was ridiculous. In any event, okay, but I don't know. Listen, no, they don't ask me that. They don't ask me anything.
Somebody told me the Russian Aguda that they're going to have other places also.
Okay, but that's not the main sense. Okay, other places. This is for the Nachshlav of the other places.
I mean, like they had the Madison Square Garden, Jersey.
Totally irresponsible. What's the average temperature on January 1st? 30 degrees. So, 30 degrees, 30 degrees. When you're betting on a miracle?
You can't sit for
7 hours. You're betting on a miracle that it's going to be 70 degrees? They're gonna be, everyone's going to be serving.
You can't sit for 7 hours in 30 degrees.
This is shocking to me. I guess I'm just not from the world. I guess I'm a Das Yochid.
We'll see how well those portable heaters work.
Portable heaters is a disaster because I know them. I know how they work. I've seen them in use. They make an enormous amount of noise. If you build tents for people, okay, you build tents, but you go deaf. Portable heaters are like airplane engines. That's really what they really are. That's really what it is. The same thing as an airplane. And it just... All right, none of my business. None of my business. No one asks me. None of my business. Baha Lasha Lashon Nikabel if you shall show. But now here you go, Vaita. Okay, let's go. Next homiletic inside Baha. Why is we already had a discussion on the word Ba'a. Does Ba'a mean that the ship is set to set sail? Or does the word Ba'a means the ship has arrived? Two translations. The Gra, in his homiletic interpretation that we're referring to the Neshama, he has a different focus, Lashoin Nikeva. The word Ba'a has a he at the end. Ba'a, wa lufisha neshama ba'al shel guf. Kimo shakasa b'medrash, because the neshama baal shel haguf. Kimo shakasa b'medrash hanelam al avam b'saru l'chein eitz liyona omar l'shoin zohar. So we're saying that, I don't really understand what this means. I'm not going to believe I understand this. That Yona is the neshama. Isn't Yona the neshama? L'chein eitz liyona omar l'shoin zohar. Yona is the neshama. Neshama is the keva. Well, that's not so necessarily. The word neshama, this is Yadua. The person who writes matzevos, the people who are specialized in writing matzevos, they will tell you the word neshama can be used both lashon zohar and lashon nikeva. Okay, it's a word you can say neshama hatahora or neshama hatohar. They are both correct. The word neshama is one of those words which can be used both ways. So yoni here is the neshama, in the Gra's understanding, and it seems that he's telling us that he's writing to the Yona Omar Lashon Zohar, but we're mating him to the boat Ba'a, the ship is the Guf, so the Guf is Nikeva. Yona, the neshama is now entering into a Guf. The relationship of the neshama and the Guf is the relationship of a Zohar and the Nikeva. Who is the Zohar? Who is the Nikeva? So you can argue both ways, but he seems to take the opinion that the neshama is the zohar and the guf is the nekeva. So when Hashem puts the neshama into the guf, it's a union of zohar and nekeva, and that's why he says ba'a. The ba'a here is the ship, which represents the guf, and Yona is the neshama. Yona is now entering into the ship. He's entering into the guf. Something along those lines. I told you, yes, I warned you, that I'm not going to go try to figure anything because I don't know what these things here mean. Tarshish, what is Tarshish? Shemot Sochoymer Kimoyso, Muchan El Ta'avoyis Olam Hazem, as he said this already before, that Tarshish represents Gashmias. The Al Zeh Kosav Shloima Mishle Al Eish Eschayil Shulguf, Muchan Lavodis Elokim. The whole Mishle, we spent so much time on this Mishle, especially the Gra, all is about a woman. I don't think he was a feminist, the Gra. Okay, so the Gra here seems to say that the tendency of a woman is evil. A man, elef, I found one good man in 1,000. But women, not even in 1,000. Nothing. There's not even one good woman out there. And yet he married. How many women did he marry? He married 1,000 women. So how do you explain that?
That's how we know.
That's how we know. Okay. He didn't take any risks. He took risks, huh? Okay, so this is something which, listen, you don't want to say this too loud because it's not popular. Vayitein sichara, he paid the fear of the entire ship. Sheshibet es sichloi b'kichoysav b'taivoysav ha'mugulim lahavrois bohem es haguf. He was meshabet, he committed He committed his mind with all of his koichas and his desires, hamigunim, the evil, the bad midos, lahavrois, when it's a good order, lahavrois to abuse the body. Okay, so this is all part of the nisayon of living in olam hazeh, that the person uses his talents, his seichel, in order to take advantage. To take advantage of his body in order to derive, in order to enjoy himself in this world. This is the reward the body has. It does averos. When the body does an avero, it has a good meal, a non-kosher meal. It's delicious. Whoever said that it's not good. Whoever said chaz doesn't taste good. Other chazal say it's very good. Tastes very good. And when it comes to arayos, it's enjoyable. So this is what, that's what it means over here. Vayitain sechora. He paid, vayitain, he's interpreting this to mean something along the lines is that when Hashem sent the guf down to this world, the guf experiment, the neshama experiments, or the guf experiments with the pleasures of this world in order to receive benefit. It receives sechor. It has hana when it does an avera. It says explicitly in the Torah, in the Chazal, that there is something called schar aver. When a person does an aver, he does derive benefit. Yeah?
But it's not the schar of the subject by
yitain
sechora. He gave it, didn't he? He received it.
He allowed the body to enjoy itself. Vayitain, he gave to the guf sechora, whatever you want, you can have. You want to have sochar, you want to have enjoyment in this world, go right ahead. Oh, but Hashem said it's osur to do this. It's okay, don't worry about Hashem, it's not your problem. But Yitain, he gave his body whatever
permission.
It desired.
He gave permission?
He gave free rein to the body to enjoy itself. And don't say, the Gemara makes it very clear, don't say, oh, if you do an Avera, since the Torah says you're not allowed to do it, you're not going to enjoy it. If it's disgusting, if it's awesome, eating chazer doesn't taste good. There are people who say this. Okay, there are people, they're very narrow-minded people that like to say this. And if the Torah says that chazer is awesome, if you'll eat chazer, you're not really enjoying it. The only thing you'll enjoy in this world is to eat a piece of meat that's been heavily salted and been frozen for a couple of days. And in order for it to get here, because it has all the chumus of all the kashrus organizations. That's a shtus. That's a total foolish thing to say. Doing averos, Chazal clearly indicate, are enjoyable, are pleasurable. And people who have tried it come back and tell us it's good. It tastes good. It's fun. There's a lot of pleasure. Yet, the Torah said, it is awesome. Yirah Shemayim demands not to engage in these things. So here in this pasuk it says, the way it is, say it as it is, vayitein sechara, he gave his body enjoyment. He let the body, the neshama allows the body, do whatever you want and don't bother me. No resistance. That's why it says here in the pasuk, the wisdom of the smart man is despised. Perish. All of the limbs, the body is not interested in listening to the musr of the Yetzer Toif. Have a good life. Take it immediately. The Yetzer Toif Omer Vida. I would not do this if I were you. The day will come when you're going to have to give a din v'cheshvin Vida ki al kol ele v'zehu esnan zayna. That's what it says. The esnan means the payment for znus. I'm not sure what he means by that over here. Whatever it means, we alza amar Shlomo v'neisha likraso shis zayna. There is an isha lish a woman that is opposite him. I forgot what that word means. That was very memorable. We spent a lot of time on that. If you don't chazi, you forget everything. All right, let's go further. Vayered ba sheyarad alaguf v'yirida gedoyle hiloi meigra rama labira amikta. Coming down to this world is a very, very great fall. The neshama is in a holy, holy place. It comes down to this world. It is a very, very traumatic experience. Ever see the new baby comes to this world? What do they look like? They don't look happy. New babies do not look happy. It takes them like a week or two, a month. They're smiling. They've been acclimated to the tanuge ha'olam hazeh. But when they first open up their eyes, you look at their face. You see a holiness. Something. You see, like, what did you do to me? You took me from a holy world, and you brought me to this lowly world. Very quickly, they adjust. Very quickly, they get used to all the tanuge ha'olam hazeh. It's very frightening, in fact. Lovoi tashisha shaguf shehi ir kitana va'anosh. He quotes so many psukim here from Koheles. Va'anoshim bo ma'ot sheheim koichoi saguf ha'magadel v'ha'misaveh v'ha'misaredes u'shor koichoi saf haguf v'chol o'ivayim shabu kulam tarisha shkinis kol el mi'lifnei Hashem shukulam baruchim mi'lefana v'ein roitzim lefana v'amod. And they don't want to stand before Hashem. Whatever, so whatever these things over here mean, basically, I think we've gone through many, many good examples, many beautiful metaphors of describing the mashal of the neshama and the guf according to the gist of the gra. Now let's take a look at the chumash anach. There's one little chumash anach over here, very nice chumash anach pasuk gimel, back on page 405. 405, chumash anach. Gimel vayakam yoina levroyach tarshisho milifne Hashem lechoira yipolei. So you can talk right away that the chida live in very modern times, because to start lechoira, it sounds like yeshiva bachar. It sounds like this is not the typical type of writing that you have from the kadmonim, from the rishonim, and not the early achronim. Lechoira, it sounds here. Yipolei eich osa kozois me'achar de koivesh nevuosu chayev is chayev misa. Okay, so everyone is always going back. We're always going back 100 times to the age-old question: how was Yonah allowed to disobey a direct order? What is going on? So we already had so many answers, but now he gives b'ter tzarav be'er Yitzchak. Okay, I don't know who this is. Larav Yitzchak mis zal. Haftaras Lemincha Yom Kippurim. I have no idea who this is. He's quoting an ancient sefer. I don't know if we even have the sefer today. B'mash Amru B'medrash. Probably can find it on Oitzah Chochma. B'mash Amru B'medrash. Shepam Achas Hitznabei. One time Al Yerushalayim Ukru Nabi. You have to turn to page 407 on the very, very top. One time, there was a time when Shepam Achas Hitznabei Al Yerushalayim. There was a fellow who said Nevuah on Yerushalayim, Ukiro Uhu Nevi Sheker. The im Yesh Le Savik Shlo Yaminu Lo, Einu Bechlal Koivesh Nevuah, so Ayin Sham Bo Erech. And what is he saying here? He's saying is that, I guess he's saying this about Yonah. It seems over here that Yonah was, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm not reading this correctly, he's saying in an awesome Chiddush, that Yonah was once accused of being a Nevi Sheker. And once a person is suspect, he's on a list of being suspected of not being 100% honest, he is given a license to be Koivesh Yitzchak. Isn't that an amazing idea?
Because he predicted the destruction of Yerushalayim.
He predicted
the destruction of Yerushalayim.
And it didn't happen.
Because people didn't understand that if you knew the tshuva.
He's referring to, they did tshuva, okay, whatever the situation was. It's not exactly clear what he's referring to. But we do know a rule, we do know it says in the Torah that a Navi, in order for a Navi to prove himself, he must provide a sign. He must give you an oath. It's a pasuk in the Torah. He must, the oath for hamofes must come true. In order to become it's so foreign to us, this entire concept, every time we learn even just a little few words, we're right away thrown off. Because Nevuah we have no connection to Nevuah whatsoever. But a Navi, in time of Nevi'im, it was a big deal. To establish yourself as Navi was a big, big deal. And to establish yourself, you had to prove it. So, there were people who proved it. Once a person has been proven to be a Navi Emes, he has a license, and no one is questioning his authenticity, if he will now be koivesh es nevuaso chayev misa. But a Navi that's on the bench, You know, he's not out in the field. He's attempted to prove himself. He made an attempt. He gave a sign, and you know the jury is out. Okay, the jury has not yet come in and told us if we are going to give him a license, if we really accept him, and he's suspected of being a Navi Sheker. So the Chidos citing the Sefer, an incredible insight. Where are you going to see something like this? That such a person whose authenticity is suspect does not have the halacha, it does not apply to him the halacha, koivesh es nevuoso chayiv misa, even though he is a Navi Emes. The Navi knows himself he's a Navi Emes. But the people have not accepted him. Because the people just don't understand what he's saying. They don't understand that the ois and the moifes that he's given has come true, or whatever the situation may be, and he has not been established 100% in society, is not recognized as being a Navi MS, even though he really is. If he is in that situation, he is not obligated to further express, to give forth a nevuah, that halacha does not apply. So Yonah was 100% within his rights, no ands, if, or buts, to run away and leave and not go on the mission that Hashem sent him on.
What's a Navi Sheker?
Navi Sheker is Chayiv Misa.
Right.
Yonah is not a Navi Sheker. Yonah is a Navi MS. However, just because you know you're a Navi MS, other people don't know you're Navi, your Navi MS. You have to prove yourself.
So could it bring him up? Could best bring him up on charges?
Only if he's proven, well, to be a Navi Sheker, you also need to be proven. So we don't know how we have no clue what these rules are all about. You remind me of a very good, very, very very enjoyable story about Rav Steinman. Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. Rav Steinman was a real shrewd fellow. He seemed like he's a very simple person. He was so shrewd, it's not to be believed. And a fellow, a Meshugna, comes to his house and he says to him, I want to talk to you privately. I have something very important to tell you. He goes in quiet in the private room. He says, I want to be Megala to you. I am Elio Hanavi. Here I am. Hinei Anochi Shalechem Eis Elio Hanavi Liftei Boyeim Hashem. Without blinking an eyelash, Rav Steinman said, oh, Baruch Hashem, I've been waiting for this my whole life. Bav Metziyad Av Chav Dalim says, Teku. What's the answer? Yivamis Lamed Gimel Ksubis Chav Zayin. He goes to you, rattles off 30. Nu, I've been waiting my whole life. And the guy looks at him and says, I don't have permission yet to tell you the answer.
So he wasn't a Meshukin.
So he just right away blew him off. You understand it?
Yeah,
okay? It's very shrewd. You have one story after another. You got to read the book, the Art Scroll Book of Steinman. It's just every page is like, wow, this is just not to be believed. You can't make this stuff up.
Is there a translation?
No, it was written in English. It was written in Chazkel in English. You can't make up these stories. I mean, the stories that one after another is like, they're comical, some of the stories. In any event, we have over here, this incredible insight, and there's no prohibition. If you've not been proven, you've not been yeshlo sofik shlo yaminu loy ene bechlal koivish es nevuasa, because the people have accused me of being a Navi Sheker. So if I'm going to tell them another nevuah, they're not going to believe me because I'm anyway suspect. Wait, they don't believe me.
But he hasn't been to Nineveh. He doesn't know.
Like, no, but he's not. When
everything else tells us that he knew what their reaction was.
Right, but when he comes to Nineveh, they're going to say to him, like, you're Navi. Let's Google you.
How does he know?
What?
How do you know that?
He does know that because that was the reality. The reality is when there are a lot of Meshugim out there. When he comes to Nineveh, who are you? Oh, I'm a Navi. My name is Yonah. Don't you know me? I'm a Troyos. Don't you know me? They say, no, we never heard of you. Let's look you up. Let's check out your credentials. They check out his credentials, and the people say, we don't really know. He says things. Nishta he, nishta he, we can't really vouch for that. He's the real deal.
Does this principle apply to first encounter
yes.
with people, or does it apply after rejection?
After, no, both, before his first encounter.
But the latter has...
It's a very long... I don't know how this works,
yeah.
Obviously, but it's a process.
It seems he had a reputation, though.
Right.
People
it's,
knew who he
it's
was.
A process. It's a very it's long big. Process. It
no,
comes
no, they said... I mean, a couple of Mepharshim say that he had a reputation. People knew that. You don't know
yeah, of course.
Know.
Every Navi.
Yeah, it, I understand, but...
Like a Pesach. Our Pesach. How did Rav Moshe Feinstein be recognized as the Pesach Hadar? It took years.
Right.
Years. They asked him a Shiloh. Oh, it's a good answer. Another one asked a Shiloh. It's a good answer. This happened, that happened. Same thing with a Navi. A Navi is a holy person. A Navi is not just a person that tells you the future. He's a holy person. In addition, the Vuh means you have to give an Oysa and a Maifes. A lot of things happened during this time.
Of course, you have to build a following.
So this was at a time when Hashem came to Yonah, and Yonah was the real deal, no ands, ifs, or buts, but the people did not accept him. His reputation was not established yet. And therefore, people suspected that he's not the real deal. And therefore, since I've not yet been fully accepted in society as being a Navi, this law that's written in the book of the laws of Nevuah, and Shulchan Aruch, Simon, whatever, does not apply to me. The law, HaKodesh... It does not apply. Does not apply to me because I have not been accepted into society as being authentic. And therefore, there's no kasha. Why Yonah was permitted to run away. I've not accepted, it doesn't apply. Vigam, and Adarava, Nezek Lishol, come on, now he's going back to what we said before. Everyone said, Vigam, Shayyat Nezek Lishol, come on, Amir Razal. Okay, whatever he means over here is that Yonah did not want to cause harm to Klal Yisrael, and he had no obligation to give over the Nevuah because the Nevuah did not apply to him. But yet, that was a mistake. He underestimated himself. He did, what he seems to be saying over here is that his reputation really was accepted enough. There's always going to be distractors. Okay, there's always going to be people that are going to be like Mordechai. Okay, so the over here is the Malamit Schus. It says Yonah. Don't worry. On Wikipedia, it's good enough. It's good enough what it says. It says just because there's some noise in the background, it's okay. You're good enough, and therefore the halacha does apply to you. But Yonah said, listen, I have a lot of distractors, and he felt that the distractors was a significant was significant enough that the halacha did not apply to him. So in his mind, he did not do any avera, which maybe in a chanani, he didn't. He didn't do any avera. Okay, so this is a unique take on...
Didn't we say somewhere that Kuslaris, the
Yeah, everyone said that. That's why he tried to run away. That's exactly what he was trying to do.
He would go and do it?
No, he's trying that Hashem should not send him another communication. I don't want to be disturbed. Hashem, you're disturbing my sleep.
Maybe there's a difference between the Nevuah to Yisrael and the Nevuah to Goyim.
No, no one says that. I hear what you're saying. That you're allowed to be Koyvesh Nevuah if it's to a Goy. I hear what you're saying. It's a very interesting idea. But no one so far have we seen says that svar. There's a general rule that we always come across, and this is so foreign to us, it's like we're playing with Mars. I mean, we have no shaykhis to understand Nevuah. But there is a rule that a Navi, that is Koyvesh Nevuah Soy Chayev Misa. What, the first three psukim of Sefer Yonah, what in the world is Yonah doing? Every single one of the commentators we've over here is dealing with this issue. The simplest, most extreme interpretation, which almost all of them touch upon, is that's right. I will do an avera lishma. I'm going to give up my life. I'm going to take upon myself to die. I'm going to take upon myself even to give up my neshama. Hashem, you can have me. You can take my neshama and put me in Gehenim. You can torture me because my love for Klal Yisrael is so great. I'm going to go al kiddush Hashem. Because
what makes you, maybe you're not a Jew, well, who makes you a Jew? He says, Hitler made me.
Oh.
So he said it's a good shayla. He went inside the chief justice, and he came. They came back and said, "You're right. I'm not like Hitler."
Okay. You're saying you're making a very powerful point. You're right. Look, I'm very fond of this story. I said over many, many times here about the fellow. There was a fellow who did for a Grois Rebbe from previous generations who was the real deal. That's how the story. Someone told me the name. I once told over the story in public, and someone told me actually all the names. All the names of who these people were, exactly when it happened, who it was. And a person did for a very great holy Rebbe a very, very big toif. Something which made a big difference. So the Rebbe said to him, "I owe you. I owe you big. I want to reward you. And I have power. I can do something for you. I'll give you a choice. This is what I have permission to give you. Here's the choice. I give you a bracha called Imi Bimichitzasi. What does that mean? A Kabbalistic concept. In the Olam HaEmes, you're going to sit right next to me. Nitzchias, you're going to be with me, Olam HaEmes. That's one option. Option B, in this world, in the Olam HaEmes, you'll be a nobody. But in this world, you'll be Zoicha to Grois Ashiras. You'll be the next Donald Trump, okay? You'll be the next Bill Gates. Covered in Ashiras. So he said, think about it. Come back in a week and tell me what you want. Whatever you want, you get. He comes back in a week and he says, they tell this over to a cheder, little children in yeshiva, right, with payas. You know, yeah, it's holy. So what would you think they would all say? They'll say, oh, of course. He's going to say, imi b'michitzasi. Olam hazeh. What's olam hazeh? Garnish from garnish. How long you live in this world already, right? He comes back in a week and says, Rebbe, I want the money. I want the covet. I want the money. The Rebbe says, You got it. I'm in the spell for you. Got it. Then he's okay. Now it's over. You got it done. Tell me, I'm curious. What was your cheshbon? Why? Why do you want? So he says to him, Rebbe, if I take option A, imi b'michitzasi, it's selfish. Who will be nene from the bracha? Just me. In the Olam HaEmes, just me, I'm going to be sitting with you in the Olam HaEmes. But Rebbe, if you give me the money, when you think I need the money, what do I need the money for? What do I need? An onion bun and a piece of chicken? What do I need in this world? Do you know what I'm going to do with the money? You know how many people I'm going to support? Do you know how many institutions I'm going to fund? You know how many hospitals I'm going to build? You know how much chesed? The ganze Welt is going to be nene from this money. I should be selfish or take it for myself? Okay, so you see, you give up. I'm giving up Olam Haba. You're not giving up Olam Haba. You're getting it in a much bigger way when your frame of mind is not to be selfish. So Yonah here, what am I going to do? Hashem's will? Yeah, I'm going to be the great big Navi, covered Malachim, I'm going to go, they're all going to bow down to me, I'm going to go, and tell them a prophecy from Hashem. Wow, you're a Navi. Hashem talks to you, a holy person. And what's the consequence of this? The consequence is Klal Yisrael is down the drain. The Katrigim, they come to Shema. Look, the Goyim do tshuva. The Jews, look what you've done for them. They can't even stop to talk during Chazar Hashatz. Look at the Jews. So Yonah says, what do I need from this? Where do I belong? I belong with Klal Yisrael. You know what? I'll die. I'll kiddush Chayim Misa. Fine. You want to put me in Gehenna? Fine. I'm willing to give up my guf and neshama for Klal Yisrael. Wow. That's pretty much what almost everyone says. In one way or another. Pretty much. Then everyone, all the variations we've discussed. All you say, well, at this point in time, it wasn't a direct order. It was just a vague nevuah. Go to Nineveh, see what's going on over there. And when you get there, I'll give you direct instructions. So at this point in time, Yonah, you know something, Hashem, I'm not interested. I'm getting out of here. I don't want you to bother me. I'm turning off my phone. I don't want to be disturbed. I'm going to go to Chutz Li'aretz. That was another approach. And in that approach, everyone's splitting hairs, all different variations. Here we come to a very, very cold, even though the Chidah is normally, you know, that it has a more of a drush, a homiletic, he gives a very cold response, very simple. Yonah But he's telling us information that no one, that we don't, I don't know where he's getting access to this information from. He's quoting the Sefer that Yonah was suspected as being a Navi Sheker. That's what he says. He had distractors. People did not like him. They posted nasty things, comments on the blogs about him. So Yonah said, if I'm not accepted as a Navi MS, in the manual of the laws of prophets, it says, if you're not fully accepted, the law of Koivesh Nevuoso Chayev Misa does not apply. Very cold, simple, basic halacha. Okay, we don't have to go get into romance. I'm giving up my neshama for my love of Klal Yisrael. You don't need to go in that path. It's just basic halacha. That is the approach of the Chido. I don't remember how you learned already other perushim, but we already forgot. But these are the basic gist of this approach, which we keep on coming back to. And we're not finished yet. We're going to have we want to do the Maral and Rabbeinu Bachya, and they're going to bring up the issue all over again. No one's going to let you live until they pound on this question until there's nothing left to discuss. Now let's see the next chida. The next chida is back on the next page. You got to turn. You have to turn to page 409 to come to the next chida. My favorite period. The chida is always very, very interesting. Vayitain sechara vayerid ba. He gave. He paid for the entire ship. Vayerid vayerid ba lava yimahem tarshisha. Yesh miyusha perash. Some learn bisvara Shmuel. The loy avar. Now this Shmuel in the Gemara, the Amoira. He's saying the loy avar ella b'ma'bara the ispe goy amar sitna b'trei ume lo sholet. Is a fundamental machlokes in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. And that is, if you are traveling, is it better to travel alone, or is it better to travel with other people? And there's no answer to this question, but what are the two tzadim? When a person is in danger, when you travel, it's dangerous. That is a given. And whenever a person is in a matzav of sakana, the in Shemayim, the mekatrigim, the prosecutors have an opening. Ribono shel olam, you know, we can now. It's very easy now to bring upon this fellow punishment. So when a person travels, this is a given. You're in a matzav of sakana. So if you travel alone, if you travel alone, then the full din is being applied to you. Now, if a person knows deep down that he's a good, honest, hard-working person, I have nothing to worry about. In Shemayim, when I came to this world, they gave me a number of years, how long I'm supposed to live. I don't sense my time has come. Did I do any crime in my life that I deserve to die now? So a Shmuel can make an assessment. Listen, you know, what did I do already in this world? Did I kill anyone? Did I harm anyone? Did I steal? Did I rob? What did I do? I'm just your average Joe. There's no reason why in Shemayim they should take me down. When I go and I travel, they should go scrutinize me and take me out. But if I go with this guy, I go on a ship, and there are 100 people on this ship, there's a very high probability that there's one guy on this ship that's a lowlife. And really has done terrible things in this world, and has caused pain and suffering to other people. And in Shemayim, they want to take him out. And it might just be, I'm going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. If I'm on a ship with 100 people, and there's one guy here that deserves to be taken out, and I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, oy l'rasha, oy l'shchenai. So therefore, maybe it's not a good idea to go commercial. Fly only on a private jet. You don't know who the passengers are on the plane.
Maybe just the opposite.
So the Gemara says, Pum fakert. Okay, I don't remember the names, they have to look at the Gemara. The other Amora says, Pum fakert. Only travel with someone else. You know why? Who are you fooling? You think you're a tzaddik? You did nothing wrong your whole life, right? Oh, you're a great tzaddik. You know, let's open up the ledger and go through your whole life. You did this avera, and this avera, and this avera. Don't fool yourself, you're a tzaddik. Ain't tzaddik, baruch hashem, yaseh tov v'lo yechateh. So if you're going to go by yourself, you're under scrutiny and you're not going to pass the test. But you know, if you go in a ship or a plane with 100 people, you know something? Muftach! There's a tzaddik on the plane. There's a tzaddik. And if they're going to take you down, they're going to take down the tzaddik with you. He doesn't deserve to go.
There's no such thing as collateral damage. God doesn't believe in collateral damage.
You know, so you're asking very, very good, because it says that Hatsur. You're right. You're saying very, very good. Hatsur, Tom and Polok, he called Rach of Mishpat. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to exercise Mishpat without collateral damage. In this world, there is horrible collateral damage. If a person is a family man, and he commits a crime, and they lock him up for 20 years, what about his wife, his children, his grandchildren, the reputation for the entire family? Do you know how much the community, do you know how much collateral damage there is? What do? They did nothing. It's not fair.
One of my favorite members, that's why Gorilla Musia, which it describes the dome, which means an undiscriminating calamity.
That's the reason Elazar and Esau, that's what the Gemara says, why Elazar and Esau survived and other men of you didn't. I mean, why they had to go.
You're asking a very good question. The answer at Sur, Tamim, Paulo, Hashem has calculations for everything. We don't know how it works. But one thing we do know is that the Satan is Mekadreg B'Shas Hasakona. And there are times when people, from our perspective, there is collateral damage. We have emuna that there is no collateral damage. Everything that happens in this world is just by Hashem, whatever Hashem does, not man. Okay, you're touching upon the heaviest questions that exist. But in any event, there's another approach. You go on a ship, you have a choice. You want to travel privately in your own jet, or you want to go commercial. 350 people on the plane with you. If I go alone, it's sakana to travel. Go alone. So, in Shavan, they're going to scrutinize me. And if I'm guilty, things will go wrong. But if I'm with another 400 people, 350 people, there's got to be a tzaddik on this plane who doesn't deserve it, and I will attach myself, grab onto his coattails, and survive. So here we have over here two very, very different approaches in dealing with traveling. It's a Gemara Masechta. It's a famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos. So now Yonah comes into play. Yonah, the Chumash Sinach connects Yonah here. He pays Vayitein Sechara. What does he say? He says, which one did he hold? Like the Shmuel Deloy of our Ela B'Marava the Isbe Goy. He went with another person. I didn't really say the Gemara accurately, but it's really the same idea. And that is that Shmuel, when he crossed over the bridge, which is a sakana to cross a dangerous rope bridge, he only went with a goy, a non-Jew. Now, I told you the example of a lowlife and the balavera. What I said is 100% true, but it's just an extrapolation of the Gemara. The Gemara just expresses it. He went with a member of another nation. There are 70 nations in this world in Shemayim. Each nation has a sar. And in Shemayim, when they make an accusation against a person, they first have to get permission, sign off by the sar, the guardian angel, the advocate of that nation. Now, it's not easy to get two senators in, two governors, into the office at the same time. If you have a ship, and you have a member of nation of, let's say, the United States, of Washington State, and a member of Massachusetts, and we got to go take him down. There are two people, so you got to get the governor to sign off of Massachusetts. You got to get the governor of Washington State to sign off. He's on vacation today, okay? Or he's not available. He has a meeting today. It's not so easy. And if they come together, they don't like each other. He's a Democrat. He's a Republican. Mm-hmm. Whatever you say, I'm going to say the opposite, whether you're right or wrong. Right, it doesn't make a difference. Everyone knows the stories. This is a true story. I mean, this is in the beginning, and I don't know what goes on now. But I heard this when Trump became president, towards the very beginning, he heavily relied upon his advisors because he knows the man. But he knew I don't know now, but he then knew nothing, zero, about everything, and he heavily relied upon his daughter.
Why
Ivanka and his son-in-law, and he was, it was I think maybe even Shabbos, and it was a real crisis somewhere in the world. Someone, they wrote this up, an eyewitness wrote this up. There was a real crisis, something really that affected lives. And he had mamish no clue, no clue even what's going on. So, Mr. President, we need a decision now, right now. Okay, call in the Secretary of Defense, call this guy. No one is available. Where's Ivanka? She's not answering the phone. Shabbos. What am I going to do? And it was, Mr. President, we need a decision now. Yes or no? We need a decision. This is something, national security, this is serious business. No one was available to tell him what to do. So you know what he said? Did this situation ever happen by in Obama's administration? It's a true story. Did this situation ever happen in Obama's administration? Yes, it did. What did he do? He'd do the opposite. Do the opposite. So if you'll get two sorim from Shemayim to come together, whatever you say, I'll say the opposite. That's how it goes in Shemayim also. So what's going to be the end? A stalemate. A stalemate, nothing will happen. So Shmuel, when he crossed the bridge, he says, I'm not crossing this bridge alone. Because maybe in Shemayim, the Tsar of Yisrael is not having a good day. Maybe the Tsar shel Yisrael is not having a good day today. It's not. And I'm not looking. I don't want to put myself at risk. So you know what? Let me go together with a guy, with a member of another nation. So if they need in Shemayim to sign off that they're going to take this bridge down and we're going to go with it, they're going to need two signatures. It's much harder in Shemayim to get two signatures than to get one signature. The same idea I said before, I just expressed it in different ways. So here, what is Yonah doing? Why did Yonah go on a safina and pay for the whole safina? Why did Yonah go himself? He says, "Vayitin sechar vayered ba lavoi imohem." The chida is coming to emphasize the word imohem. Yonah was a very rich man. We know that because he paid for the whole ship. He wanted to go right away, but there were still people on the boat. He wasn't alone. Vayavo imohem. If Yonah was a very rich man, he had his own jet. He was able to fly himself. He doesn't need anyone. Let him go himself and run away. Why is he flying commercial? The answer is because he holds like Shmuel. And Shmuel, when he crossed the bridge, Shmuel said, crossing a bridge is a sakana. In Shemayim, a lot of things can go wrong. Hashkacha pratis, I'd rather cross the bridge together with a member of another nation, because in Shemayim, they need two signatures now, and it's much harder to get two signatures than one, and this is a technique which will spare my life, so they should not be mekatreg against me, b'shas ha-sakana. And that's why it says, va'lovoi imohem, he bedavka went with other people, not to go alone. Yeah.
This is against what we said that he wanted to do, like suicide, because if he could have gone alone.
That was later. The suicide comes later. That's not yet. We're only supposed to give him. It takes a long time to commit suicide. It doesn't happen overnight. Achman Litzlan. Achman Litzlan, what?
Actually, if you sell insurance, it's 2 year assessment clause. In 2 years, if you didn't do it in 2 years, you're not going to do it.
Yeah?
They look back 2 years.
I don't know. It's not so simple. Insurance is very hard. Life insurance, then.
You know, but life insurance, they look back 2 years.
Only, every insurance is different. Every it's
unless they change.
I was once involved in this. It's a lot of these life insurances. They have it's a every case. It's a case by case. Ruba de ruba. Yeah, okay, whatever. All right, it's not okay. Let's go further. So therefore, this one is over here. Let's see. He passed like Shmuel. The ispe goy omar sitna, which means an accusation. Shemayim betray ume lo shol. Okay, so we have a whole new interpretation. Lovoi imohem. If you remember that one of the mafarshim, I don't remember which one. It's just mamash, just the opposite. He said, I don't remember which one. Maybe it was the Radha. I don't remember. Maybe it was the Malbim. Just the opposite. That he wanted to leave immediately. Why? What's the rush? He bedavka did not want the ship to fill up. He wanted the less the better. He did not want to put other people in sakana. It's mamash, just the opposite. because he knew that he was a wanted man by Hashem because he's rebelling against Hashem and he's putting his life in sakana. So why should I endanger more people? Others. So Bedavka, let the ship set sail with the least number of passengers so I do not endanger others. According to what the Chaimas Anoch is saying, it's just the opposite. The more the merrier. Every person, every additional person is another zuchus. I will ride on their coattails. I will grab on, and if they don't deserve to be punished, or it's difficult in Shemaim for who their defenders, to something to happen to them, so the male will also survive. So therefore, you see over here a complete opposite interpretation of how the Chidah takes this expression, this pasuk, these words from what we learned a few days ago. Okay, next
don't
words.
Do you find in general that you're much better off in davening? You daven with tzibur, you know.
Well, that's a whole different world. That's the koyach tzibur in tefillah. That's a whole different world. You can't compare. This is the principle of traveling. When you're traveling, that's not davening. You're traveling. Traveling
but you're
is
with other people, so
that's
it's
a sakana.
Yeah,
that's not a koyach of tefillah. No. You're traveling is a moment of sakana. And the Mekatrigim are there. You need merit. It's not a time to daven. It's too late. It is what it is. When there is a problem and you come together to daven, the koich of the tzibur is infinitely powerful in the koich of the yochid. I mean, if there arises a sakana when you're traveling and you have a tzibur, then, but you're not looking for that. It doesn't usually come to that. When the sakana happens, it's right then and there. So it's a different idea.
That's why you got to walk somebody.
We malava them. That's another topic. It's a whole different. Okay, yeah, we're confusing some of the things. It's true. Everything is related, but let's get a little carried away.
So whenever I travel, I should take a koi with me.
No, that's a machloikis. It's a machloikis in the Gemara. The Gemara presents two different. There is no halacha. This is not a matter of psak halacha. This is a matter of hashkafa. Shmuel. I don't know who the other one was. They had a very different approach when they crossed the bridge. Should they cross the bridge together with another person? Or should they cross the bridge alone? The question is, can your person truly evaluate himself and make a determination that I'm not deserving of punishment, so therefore it's safe for me to travel, and if I will take with me another person, I can vouch for him. He may be deserving of punishment, and they may decide to punish him, and they don't care about the collateral damage that I will have to suffer along with him. That's one approach. So therefore, go alone. On the other hand, Shmuel says, I disagree. I cannot go say about myself that I'm righteous and I deserve and if I go alone, I'm going to be safe. I can't say that about myself. It's better for me to travel with other people because there's a much more greater likelihood that the combination of many people traveling together will make it more difficult for anyone to be harmed. It's a different approach to life, okay? Different strokes for different folks. It's a very different way of making an evaluation of your self-worth, and how to deal with situations. It comes out in many different ways. Now we go to the next piece in the Chaimas Anoch. Vayer Ba'olova Imohem. He went down with them. Imohem. Daiko Adkan Devarav. Okay, so Daiko, Adkan Devarav. This is, that is the end of, I guess what he means over here is the end of relating what Yonah did. The next Pasuk Dalet begins Hashem's response. So from Pasuk, this Pasuk Gimel is a discussion. I'm sorry. Ad Kandav is that's the end, I think, Yesh Mishaperesh. Okay, that's really going back on the interpretation that we just said. Now, the Efshal Lefaresh Kihine Amurazal. Shenasan sechar kol asfina vehikdim loses hasochar. I think he's just going back to what we learned before in Mitsudos and Rashi that he paid for the entire ship. The kavonas hakosiv litmoya olaf to is astonished. The amru sitna betray ume lo sholate haynu b'mabarosh kol echad noisin secharoi. That this principle, where the more the merrier, the safer you are. That's only where each person is paying their fee. The ein yisroin b'mabara le'echod al chaveri aval kan shunosan sechar kol asfina imkain. Since in this instance he's paying for the entire ship, imkain nikreis. You have to turn now to page 411. Nikra al Shemoi Vehagoyim Keloi Hashive Linin Hasvina. Vize Kavanas Akasuva eating Sahara, Kulam Husava Lava Imohem, Detre Ume Loy Shalit, he Savar Lava Imohem, Veloy, Detre Ume Loy Shal, Veloy Kivin Yofe. Okay, so he's saying over here, he's saying that he's challenging this whole idea, and he's saying something that's really more Kabbalistic. And he's saying is, there does hot the Nea, hot the Dea. Mi Sheyesh Loy Mea, Baal Hameu Baal Hadea. Baal Hameu Baal Hadea, thank you. So in other words, whoever pays for the ship is the one whom is the one who's in charge. If Yonah would pay for his own ticket and the other people on the ship would pay for their own ticket, then yes, we can apply the principle of Shmuel that the Satan has no power to bring harm to two nations. It's much more difficult for the prosecutors in Shemayim to punish two members of two different nations at the same moment in time. But here, since Yonah is paying for the entire ship, they don't count. They don't count. The whole ship is all looked. We look at in Shemayim, they only are going to look at Yonah, and everyone else does not count. So, if this is the interpretation, like even Yofeh, he's coming to challenge this Mefoirosh that he quotes, that says this was Yonah's intent of Lavoi Imohem, to go with other nations, other people. If that is correct, he says, then it's a contradiction to the fact that Yonah paid for the entire ship. This would only be correct if Yonah would pay for his ticket and they would pay for their ticket. Then the principle would be correct. But being that Yonah paid for the entire ship, like Kivin Yofeh, this cannot be the pshat that he's trying to invoke the principle of Shmuel that the Satan cannot bring tzaris upon two nations. I hear what you're saying. I don't know, but I think since he begins Atkan Devarov, and then he goes like Kivin Yofeh, I'm more inclined to say that the Chemes Nach is saying that the Mefoirosh, by injecting this interpretation to the pasuk, is incorrect. That's what it seems. So now here, let's try to finish up a little bit more. Inami. So now he gives a new interpretation of what is it, why did he go pay the entire fee? Inami, again on page 411, the second paragraph of the Chemes Nach, Evshel Hebuch, just the opposite. That he's backtracking. He's saying, no, maybe the Mefarish is correct. It doesn't matter who pays. Who cares who pays? Who's on the ship?
But is it crew?
That also, in the Chanami, the crew also has a family. You're right. In the Chanami, everything goes into the calculation. Who is to say that the one who pays in Shemayim, no one came back to tell us how these things work. Who is to say the one who pays, he's the only one that they need to consider. The akasiv revusa ash me'inan, v'zeh sham, avidin et sukhara, shehu nosan kol sukhara, he paid everything. V'asvina nikreis al shemayim, v'im kol zeh. Just because you pay, so what? The fact is, there are other human beings on this ship, and they're going to suffer. Ahani mashi yesh goyim linyin sidna b'treum e'loshol. V'zeh sham avid v'yerid bo'lova imohem. The emphasis is correct. So he's backtracking and saying, so what he paid? He paid in order to get the show on the road. But the fact is, there were other people on the ship, and that's enough to save him. V'heim trei ume. V'od yesh l'tzadeid. The hishmi'on v'akosev shleimus hamidus musar. V'an v'sanusoy shel Yonah. V'agam shu nosan tzchar kol asvina. V'hoya mara atzma kilu hu tofel lohem v'heimu ikar. V'zeh shama lova imohem, he did not lord over the other passengers of this. Is just teaching you homiletics. It's teaching you Musar. Why would we teach Musar? What's the purpose of it? I do not know. But he's teaching you here is that even though he was the gevir, when he paid for the whole ship, he sat in the economy section. He did not sit business class. No more first class anymore, Rabbi Yisai. Thing of the past. Your grandchildren will never know. Now it's only business class. Lava imoyam, v'asya kibosha kosav ha-toisvis. Mesher beinu tamikam aduchte, tishu oimer im huhu igor, Dikash Omer Imu Wikram Vizel, I don't know what that means. Vizel Shamar Lova Imohem Shehem Ha Ikar. He did not lord over the other people, even though he paid for the entire voyage. Uvichiai Gavna Vadai Amrinan Bohanami Sitna Betray Ume Lo Shalait. Certainly that's saying very, very beautiful. And in that case, where even though you pay for everything, but if you don't take pride in the fact that it was your money, you're humble, and you make yourself equal to the other people, then money doesn't mean anything. Then in Shemayim, they're now looking at you as an individual, they can look at the group, and you have the advantage of the security, the safety net of Sidna Betray Umay Law Shalom. Okay, so that concludes the Chayim HaStachim Pasuk Gimel, and we'll stop here, and next week we'll pick up on the Maral and Rabbeinu Bachya. I'll take a short break. A short break. Listen,